I am amazed at the number of people I talk to about salvation who ignore the facts completely. If they say they're going to heaven, I usually ask, how? Well, this is what I hear. I've never done anything wrong. I'm a church member. I always do the best I can. I have never harmed anyone. Well, these things are well and good, but they won't take anyone to heaven. You see, salvation is based on facts. The false teachers of Peter's day sought to refute the doctrine of the return of Christ on the grounds that all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Immediately, Peter grasped the opportunity to reflect upon the past, thus revealing the profound ignorance of the false teachers. He begins by saying in verse 5, "For they willingly are ignorant." The word ignorant here means willingly blind to the facts. What a hopeless state they were in. How could they possibly have any understanding of the truth with their willing ignorance? They didn't want to know the truth. They knew the facts, but they refused to accept the facts. Some time ago, Bertrand Russell, the famous British philosopher, gave the world the now infamous Ten Commandments of Liberalism. The first of the ten reads, "Do not feel absolutely certain about anything." How pitifully weak unbelief is. Without a sure footing, without an anchor for the soul, with no "thus saith the Lord," man is as a cork on the waves, or a wandering star in an unknown universe. In contrast, how wonderfully blessed is the Christian who is established on the absolutes and certainties of God. Unlike the unbeliever, the Christian has received the facts of a supreme being, Jesus Christ, the living Son of God, the truth of the Scriptures, the incarnation of Christ, the atonement of Christ, the assurance of being a child of God through belief in Christ. There are scores of other facts revealed in God's eternal word, but these, if believed, will open the heart to the glories of eternity. One of the important facts of Christian truth is stated by Peter in verse 5. The heavens and the earth were created by the word of God. The world and the universe in which we live is not a conglomeration of change elements. Looking to nature, we discover not chaos, not aimless change, but definite evidence of design and order. Dr. Alfred Russel Wallace, in Man's Place in the Universe, speaks of a host of marvelous adjustments in the world about us. He calculates that if the Earth's density were only one-tenth less than it is, almost the whole of it would be reduced to snow and ice-clad waste. If the Earth were larger than at present, the results would be even more drastic. If the Earth were different, whether smaller or larger, life as we know it could not exist. All this points to a supreme, all-wise Creator, of whom Peter declares, "By the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water." The earth we inhabit and the universe of which we are a part is the result of God's creative power, His divine handiwork. Now, Peter further assures the false teachers that since God created the heavens and the earth by His word, He possessed the power to destroy His creation. As we read in verse 6, "Whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished." This does not mean that the world itself was destroyed, but that all of life existing at the time perished as the result of God's judgment. Thus, the false teachers were in error. All things did not continue as they were from the beginning of creation. We may be sure also that in the future, they will not continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Peter reminds us of the great conflagration that God will send upon the earth in the future, at which time the earth will be purged by fire, as we read in verse 7. The only reason that life continues to exist, along with the earth, the sun, the moon, and the stars, is, as Peter tells us, that the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store. The same God who created the heavens and the earth by his word keeps in store or sustains the universe by his mighty power. Judgment will never again be meted upon the earth in the form of water. But Peter tells us that there will be judgment by fire. He also tells us that this will climax the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. The great white throne judgment, this will be a sorrowful affair. The wicked of every age will stand before a holy, just, and righteous God to be judged for their sins. Nothing is more certain than this judgment. This momentous day was set long ago in the counsels of the omnipotent God. The pages of sacred truth reveal the fact that we are drawing near to that day when the books will be opened and the true characters of men and women will be revealed in judgment. The purpose of the great white throne judgment will not be to decide whether one is guilty or innocent. God already knows this. It will be to manifest, to classify, and to assign the guilty sinner to the destiny for which he has prepared himself and to which he belongs. The basis of this judgment will not be on the grounds of one's morality or his religion, but his attitude toward Jesus Christ. The Bible says in John 3, verse 18, "He that believeth on him, that is Christ, is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already." I hope you will not stand in this judgment, but that your sins are forgiven, and you're on your way to heaven by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, who shed his blood and died for your sins. If you are not ready, you have that opportunity right now. I urge you to take Jesus Christ into your life if you never have. Just bow your head and say, "Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, but I want to be saved. Come into my life and save me." And Jesus will enter, never to leave. Heavenly Father, I thank you that the truth of Scripture is so plain and understandable. Help us to study the Word of God that we may get your message for our needy souls. For those who are not prepared for eternity, may they trust in your beloved Son at this very moment and be saved. For I pray in his wonderful name. Amen.